Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you really want to know how they produce the stunts in that movie, or perhaps what it takes to put on a Broadway musical, or if you want to know how to have a successful business, you have to look quite a bit deeper than what you initially see. You have to go behind the scenes and see all of the things that are hidden, all of the production that must happen there before a successful production can be put into place that you see. Sometimes the things that look really good on the outside aren't so neat and clean under the surface. A fresh coat of paint may hide some stains on a wall or cover rust on a fender, but the trouble is still there. Motor honey or even sawdust will make those noisy lifters and that knocking rod get quieter for a little while, but it won't fix the real problems in the engine. Taking a shower will certainly wash away the sweat and the dirt of the day, but it can't remove the sin that clings to your flesh. Some of the Pharisees and scribes had been watching Jesus and his disciples. The text makes it seem as though they were watching and waiting for them to stumble so that they could call into question their teaching and practice. They had been watching Jesus, and when the disciples and him began to eat, they came to him and said, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" Jesus, though, doesn't even begin to play their games. He sees through their pious facade and calls them what they are: hypocrites, legalists, unbelievers. He says, "Isaiah has you guys pegged. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." Outside, these Pharisees and scribes were the best dressed in all of the society. They were the most wealthy among the Jews, the most powerful. Outside, they are clean and polished. But on the inside, they are filthy. Dead and rotting, actually. In another place, Jesus says that these hypocrites are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones. You know good and well that this is no easy feat. It takes a lot of work for us humans to keep our tombs so presentable, to keep up appearances, to convince everyone that we are nearly without sin. In our own ways, we each are like these Pharisees and scribes. We have our own rituals concerning food and dress and behavior, and we do our best to impose those rituals on others. What's more, we carefully notice it when others live differently than we do. When they live outside of those norms that we have established, or when they live in a way that we think they shouldn't. It's a big deal when the gossip columnists are able to catch a celebrity in sweats and a t-shirt, or to see them or get a picture of them without their makeup on, or to find them after they have gained a few pounds. It's a big deal when a president mispronounces a word or stumbles through a sentence or wears a suit that doesn't fit so well. But it's an even bigger deal when the light of God's word shines through these other meaningless things and reveals our hypocrisy and sin. When his word removes the facade that we have worked so carefully to build around ourselves and to maintain for the sake of other people. We, just like those that Isaiah spoke to in the Old Testament, hide deep from the Lord and his counsel. Our deeds are dark, and we say to ourselves, "Who sees us? Who knows us?" But in this, we turn things upside down. We honor God with our lips, but frequently our hearts are far from Him and His commands. We give lip service to His Word, but conveniently set it aside when we don't like what it says or when it makes us unpopular with those around us. We frequently teach our own laws, our own rituals, our own traditions that have been handed down to us as though they were God's, and ignore God's laws altogether. The Pharisees had not only instructed the people about ritual washings for purity, but they had also taught their people about korban. They had taught that if a person decided to give their money to the temple and therefore to God, they didn't have to give any of it to their needy parents. As if you can somehow serve God apart from keeping His commandments and honoring your father and mother. God didn't need their money. Their needy parents did. And so they taught the people to honor God with their lips and with their outward actions and with their deeds seen by men, but they were far from Him. And their offerings and their hand washings and their pious speech mean nothing to Him, and they are all in vain. They are hypocrites to their filthy, rotten core. You know good and well, just as I do, that we are no different. We are no better. Maybe we don't struggle as much with the fourth commandment or with honoring our parents, but certainly some of us do struggle with that. The rest of us struggle with the ninth and the tenth commandment on coveting, or with the seventh concerning stealing, with the fifth regarding our love of hating those who disagree with us or those who have sinned against us. Certainly we struggle with the sixth, with our haughty eyes and our degenerate mind and with our evil desires. And what about the eighth, with our loose lips and our lying tongues? So quick to gossip about others, so slow to come to their defense when someone is speaking against them. Of course, we can't forget how we struggle with the third commandment and with the second, God's holy word and His holy name, the very word that these Pharisees were ignoring, the word that we often ignore, the very holy name of God that they invoked to accomplish their false teaching, and that we have often used in vain. How can we even begin to number the many and varied things and people that come before God in our own lives? We are just like these Pharisees and scribes. We are whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, filthy, dead on the inside. But there is a solution to our problems. If you had just stopped with the reading of the gospel today, you might not have heard it because it really never made it to the gospel at this point. The solution to our sin and to our baseness that is there in Scripture doesn't involve washing our pots and pans or our couches. It doesn't even involve eating with clean hands. No, but it does involve water. Water connected to God's holy word. For when you were washed in holy baptism, you were washed clean. You were removed, or all sin was removed from you. You were grafted into the living branch, which is Christ. You were given His salvation. This is real life. No trick photography involved. No stunt doubles to take your place. No whitewashing. No more faking, no more facades. Your hearts are laid bare at the foot of Christ's cross. And there you are caused to see just why Christ had to die. It wasn't, as these Pharisees taught, because the disciples had failed to wash their hands or to keep this, that, or the other tradition that had been handed down to them. He died because we broke His commands. He died because we are poor, miserable sinners. He died so that we could have life. He died so that when we fail to live by His word, our salvation would not be forfeit. He died so that the devil and his minions could no longer stand there and accuse and condemn you. He died so that you could be free. And you are free. You have been saved. All of these ways in which you have broken His commandments, they have been totally forgiven in Jesus' precious blood. And you have been given life. All of these things are gifts. All received apart from your works by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That is the answer to our sin. He is the answer to our sinfulness and our baseness. It is quite fitting that our text takes place within the context of a meal. For again, this day, we too celebrate a meal. And the devil and the sinful world are most certainly watching what happens here. They're waiting for you to slip up and make a mistake. They want to see your hypocrisy and sin so they can call you out about it. Come to this meal, though, not because you are holy and clean of yourselves, not because you believe that you have kept God's law and deserve His blessings, not because you have received this as a tradition from the elders, but because you have seen your sin. And because you know that in this meal you have Christ's forgiveness, Christ's life, and Christ's salvation. This is no simple teaching of man, but the sure and certain words of Jesus Christ. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. Do this often in remembrance of me. Rejoice and be glad, O people of God. The Lord has opened your lips. He has created in you a clean heart and given you a right understanding. He gives Himself to you in worship, and He has taught you everything that you need to know about life and salvation in His name. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.